Chapter 3. That was a fitting song there to finish out with just before the message. Jonah chapter 3. And if you could turn there, and then if we could have Philippians 4, 6, and 7 on the screen. Let's try to work on that again. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Okay, so let's say this through three times again together. So let's try to, remember we're trying to look at verses that will help us. We don't know what's coming. We never know what's coming, but only the Lord does. But we think of the Ukrainians on the run. And what do they have to cling to? Just the Word of God. And do they have it with them? Or was it left behind? So let's go through this Philippians 4, 6, and 7 three times. So I'll say the reference each time, and then if we can say it together. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Okay, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Could I have a man read that for us while we all close our eyes and think through it? I have a volunteer here. Brother Johnson, okay. Okay, so it reminds us with thanksgiving. So, you know, if your house has been blown apart by a bomb, if you're on the run, it's hard sometimes to be thankful, isn't it? So today, just on the spot, what are you thankful for? Okay, thankful it didn't fall off the roof. Amen. Okay. Okay, freedom to assemble. Yeah, I just read, just before we came to church, a news thing that there is a very well-known pastor with kind of a lot of government contacts, and he's thinking real shortly the IRS is going to yank church's tax-exempt status. So, yeah, praise the Lord with the freedom to gather. Anything else? Think of Brother Barry? Yes. I mean, we should be so thankful. You know, there's so much sin in our government that we tend to just dwell on the negative, but how many times do we thank the Lord that our government and country is still functioning? We know there's great sin in it, but, you know, someone has been saying online, pull your money out of the bank, pull your money out of the bank, it's going to crash. And he keeps saying that, and I said to my wife, what would happen if we all pulled our money out of the bank? It would crash today. And then what would happen? All of those green things would be what? Worthless. So yeah, that's a great idea. You know, just pull your money all out of the bank. Yeah, go for it. But we just tend to dwell on the negative so much of it, and yet God in His grace has allowed our government to still function. I know our dollars aren't worth as much this week as they were a couple months ago, but at least they're usable still. And actually, the gas, anyway, at Myers is actually going down a little. I know it's way up, but it's actually going down a couple pennies. As we think of, could we back up to verse 6 again? Oh, that's okay. Okay, so it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what?
Thanksgiving.
Let your requests be made known unto God. So while we are pouring our hearts out to God in time of great need, let's make sure we thank Him too, because it could be so much worse. So much worse. So, Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Jonah chapter 3. I wrote to Brother Needham, and he wrote back with some prayer requests. We'll try to update you here. But he said something that missionaries rarely write back and say. He said, what can I pray for you about? And I says, thanks for praying. And I said, please pray for a great revival and a great awakening. And so he wrote back, yeah, that is a great request. So it made me think about Jonah. Jonah chapter 3 and verse 1. Jonah 3:1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. So as we long and pray for a great revival, a great awakening, I'm suppose we could say this many years past too, but I don't know how America can go much longer. We're so deep in sin. It's just like our foundation is just rotting. How did a great revival and a great awakening come to Nineveh? Well, number one, it was not because of the spirituality of the preacher. Back in chapter 1, it was not because of the spirituality of the preacher. Jonah 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the what?
Presence of the Lord.
Presence of the Lord. And went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So this great revival, this great awakening happened in Nineveh, not because of the spirituality of the preacher. God told him to go, and he ran. He ran. He paid the fare and went to Tarshish instead. So the preacher was not on praying ground. Look at verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid. Well, let me back up verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was what?
Fast
asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O what? Sleeper, arise, and then what?
Call upon
thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. The preacher was not spiritual. He was running from God, and a lost man had to come to him and ask him to what?
To pray.
Now, isn't that pathetic? When a lost person has to come to us and ask us to pray? But that was exactly the situation here that happened. Jonah was not leading people to God as you think a man of God would be. Look at verse 8. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou what?
Done
this. Well, what were they referring to? He said, for the men knew that he what? Fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Jonah was not leading people to God. He was running from God, and he even told them he was running from God. Well, that doesn't really sound like a very spiritual preacher, does it? It really doesn't sound like this is the recipe for a great revival and awakening. Not with the man of God in this condition. In fact, look at verse 11. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. Then he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth what?
Into
the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Now, wouldn't you think, being a man of God, that he would say, you know what, I'm putting your lives in danger. I tell you what, I just need to repent and take me back to shore, and you won't have any trouble. Just take me back to shore. And you know what? He could have spared their lives that way. But no, he was in such an unspiritual state. He would just rather die. He'd rather die than do the will of God. He would rather die than go to Nineveh and preach. So he says, guys, just throw me in the sea. That was the spiritual state he was in, because he thought that would settle it all. So verse 15, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. It's just amazing, wasn't it? This guy was so out of God's will, and yet God was working through him, and these people got saved. Verse 17, Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. You know, there's a lot of people in this world that just wish they could die. They just think, if I could just die, all my problems would be over. Is that true? You get a lost person thinking that. I just wish I could die and all my pain would be over, all my problems would be over. Would that be the case? No, that would be just the beginning of their woes. If you hold your place here, turn to me to Luke 16. That would be just the beginning of their eternal woes and troubles. In Luke 16, in verse 19. Luke 16, 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried in what?
In hell.
In hell. He lift up his eyes, being in what?
Torments.
And seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am what?
Tormented
in this flame. So for an unsaved person to say, oh, I just wish, I'm in so much pain, I wish I could die. I mean, I'm facing so much trouble, you know, I've got so much debt, or this or that, I just wish I could die. That would only be the beginning of eternal torment. That would not help. What they need is to repent. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to what? To salvation, not to be repented of. In other words, when we repent and turn to the Lord to save us, we will never repent of that decision. In other words, we will never regret that decision. But the sorrow of the world worketh what?
Death.
They have no answer. They have no one to go to. But what about the Christian? What about the Christian who, like Jonah, is on the run from God? And they think, oh, I've made such a mess. I can't face people with the mess I've made. I'm just going to take my life. Well, you know, Paul said, for to me to live is what? Christ. And to die is what?
Gain.
But you know what? When we are on the run from God, to live is not Christ, because we're not living for him. And to die is not really gain in the sense of fact, yes, a Christian will go to heaven. But notice in Mark chapter 8, what will be that first reception? Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. Mark 8:38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of who? Of me, and that refers to who?
Christ.
Okay? So whosoever shall be ashamed of me, of Christ, and of what? My words. What are his words? The Bible. So whosoever shall be ashamed of me, Christ, and of my words, the Bible, in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be what?
Ashamed
when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Saved, yes, but like 1 Corinthians 3, saved but by fire, yet so as by fire. Can you imagine what it would be like to go to heaven and the first time you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, you appear before him ashamed? He said, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Wouldn't that be horrible? I mean, you think about your whole life being able to go to be with the Lord, a wonderful reception. But if we are ashamed of him and of his word, when he sees us, he's going to be ashamed. Saved, yes, but saved so as by fire. So back in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17, Jonah thought just dying would end it all. He's running from God. Now he's spilled it all before these lost people. Yeah, I'm running from God. He's the one that made heaven and earth, the dry land and the sea. And I'm running from him, but I just want to end it all. Just throw me in the sea. Then I won't have to worry about anything anymore. God wasn't going to let him get away with it that easy. Jonah 1:17, now the Lord had prepared what? A great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish. How long?
3 days
and three nights. God said to Jonah, you thought death was going to end it all? I'm not going to let you get away that easy. You don't care about the people of Nineveh. You'd just soon have me to judge them in 40 days. So I tell you what, you'd rather die than preach the gospel to them so they can live. So I tell you what, I'm not going to let you die. I'm going to prepare this fish, and it's going to swallow you, and you're not going to die. You're going to live down there in that big lake, in confinement, in total darkness in the fish's belly. I'm going to give you the experience, just a little experience of what hell is like. It's down. It's darkness of blackness, blackness of darkness forever. It's confinement. It's no way out. It's hopelessness. It's separation from me, the light, the hope. In hell, there is no hope. And you know what? He could only handle it 3 days. And he couldn't handle it anymore. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of what? Mine affliction. I thought, Jonah, death ended all affliction. But it didn't for you, did it? You're in affliction, Jonah. You didn't care about the people of Nineveh. That's what they're going to be in, affliction and torment if they die without Christ. I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of what? Hell, cried I. He's getting the picture. Out of the belly of hell, cried I. And thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into what? The deep. Same terminology used of the abyss. Thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas. And the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to what? The soul. Just the hopelessness he was feeling. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. If the earth is with her bars, what does that remind you of? Being behind bars, what does that remind you of? Prison? Jail? Prison? That's what he felt like. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. You know, if we would have read on in Luke 16, the rich man in hell remembered, and of course Abraham reminded him, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Jonah finds himself down there with what? His memory. You know, there's no Alzheimer's in hell. There's only a full memory. The rich man in hell remembered. He didn't repent. But he asked that Lazarus could be sent back so his brothers would repent. He remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake what? Their own mercy. What was the lying vanities that Jonah was observing? Thinking that death would just let me die. Throw me in, guys, so that all my problems will be over.
Sorry, Jonah, that's not what it works. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of what?
Thanksgiving.
I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is what?
Of the Lord.
And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land.
I know a lot of people have probably gotten sick eating fish, but here was a fish that got sick eating a man. The other way around this time.
So in chapter 3, we find again, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that what?
I bid thee.
So where did Jonah get this message? In verse 4, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Where did he get that message? Well, he vowed and said he would preach the Lord's message. So this was what God told him to preach to Nineveh. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So we said, first of all, this great revival and awakening did not come to Nineveh because of the spirituality of the preacher. He was not spiritual. Number two, this great revival and awakening came to Nineveh because of the message of God. It was the message of God. It's the word of God. If you hold your place here, turn to me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. You know, a man likes to take the credit for victories, whether it's spiritual victories or just any victory in life. But when it comes to souls being saved, man cannot take the glory. The Bible says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of what?
The
gospel of Christ, for it is what?
The power of God.
Unto what? Salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is what? The righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the what? The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. That's the message God sent Jonah to preach. The wrath of God. Yep, 40 days and Nineveh is going to be overthrown. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And on down through here it goes, just telling how vile man can become. So it was the message. It wasn't the messenger that brought about this great awakening and revival. It was the message of God. And on that thought, how many times do we feel like such poor messengers? Probably pretty frequently. We feel so inadequate. But I'd like to encourage you tonight in this regard. This messenger was not only inadequate, but very unspiritual. But the message was what gripped the hearts. Notice if you hold your place here in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And verse 36, John 4:36. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that what? Soweth and he that what? Reapeth may what?
Rejoice
together. Have you ever heard someone give an illustration about seeing a soul saved? We rejoice in this one that wrote back this week from Illinois. Have you ever heard an illustration of someone seeing a soul saved and then they said to the congregation this? And how many souls have you led to the Lord this week? I've heard that more than once. Is there something wrong with that? Read again with me verse 36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. That what?
Both.
Both. Both who? Both he that what? Soweth and he that what? Reapeth may what?
Rejoice together.
I would say if someone is truly spiritual and they've seen a soul saved, now they may be spiritual and they may not. They may be a Jonah. But someone that is truly spiritual and has seen a soul saved, according to verse 36, what should their attitude be? Should it be to look at you and say, and how many souls have you? I just told you about my soul winning example. Now, how many souls have you led to Christ this week? Does that match verse 36? No. Why? Because if it matched verse 36, the one who sows and the one who reaps, what does it say? And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that what? Both he that soweth and he that reapeth may what?
Rejoice together.
So if I'm telling you a soul winning example and I'm telling you about seeing someone saved, should I look at you then and say, and how many souls have you won this week? Or should I say, let us both, let us all rejoice in the goodness of God and this soul getting saved, because with all of your sowing, then some reaping came forth. Doesn't that match verse 36 better? You know, shake your heads or shake, you know, one way or the other. Doesn't that match verse 36 better? If I'm in a spiritual condition, I'm going to say rejoice with me because a soul got saved. And I'm not going to be so conceited to think it was all because of me. Because read the next verse. Verse 37 says, and herein is that saying true. What saying, Jesus? Jesus was saying there's a certain saying that goes around that is true. What is it, verse 37? One does what? Soweth, and what?
Another reapeth.
Jesus said, you know that saying that goes around, you know, one person sows, and then someone else comes and reaps? He says, that's true. That's true. One sows, and oftentimes someone else does come along and reap. He says, that is true. So what does he say to his disciples? Verse 38. I sent you to reap that whereupon ye what?
Bestowed
no labor. Other men what?
Labored.
And ye are entered into what?
Their labors.
So, no, someone who does that to you, someone that gives their soul winning exciting stories and then turns around at you, and how many souls have you won this week? That preacher is a Jonah. That is not a spiritual man. If he was a spiritual man, he would have given those examples and say, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? All the gospel tracts and people that you sow the seed, that you witness to, the letters you send out with gospel tracts, the people on the phone you talk to, Isn't that wonderful? Just God is rewarding all of our labors. He's given a harvest. So as we go back to Jonah, Jonah, even after this great awakening, great revival, he still wasn't a spiritual man. Chapter 4, Jonah 4, verse 1. But it what? Displeased Jonah what? Exceedingly, and he was what?
Very angry.
Can you imagine that frame of mind after seeing a whole city repent? It's hard to fathom, isn't it? And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I what? I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art what? A gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, what? Take, I beseech thee, what? Here we go again. Yeah, guys, this tempest is upon us. But I'm not going back there and preaching. Just throw me in. Just end it all. Not going to get away with that, Jonah. No, I'm going to let you experience just some characteristics of people in hell. Just for a bit. He couldn't stand it more than 3 days, 3 nights. Now he's up. He goes and preaches the message. The city repents, and he's right back to moping. And take my life from me. It's better to die than to live. So it was not the messenger. It was the message. I just want to encourage you tonight. You know what? We're praying for a great awakening and a great revival. Listen, don't let someone discourage you that your life isn't counting for God. Don't let someone discourage you that your life has been worthless and you don't amount to a hill of beans for God. Don't let someone put that guilt trip on you. Just keep faithfully sowing the seed. It may be someone obnoxious. It may be someone conceited that tries to puff himself up and make you really feel bad. But remember the word of God. Isaiah chapter 55. We'll close with this. Isaiah 55. Let us not give up. Listen, God could bring a great revival. You know, we could have just a short time in America. Or we could have a long time in America. I don't know. Nineveh had just 40 days left to destruction. But because they repented, God granted them 100 more years. I would pray for our children and grandchildren's sake that God would grant 100 more years for America to be free and preach the gospel. But I don't know. But let's take our Isaiah 55 and verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall what? Not return unto me void. But it shall what? Accomplish that which I please. And it shall what? Prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Listen, Jesus said that saying is true. One soweth and another reapeth. And you may feel that way sometimes. You may feel like, but I've been out witnessing so many times. I've been out door to door to so many doors. You can probably still remember a lot of them as you drive by. You can probably still remember some of the conversations you've had with people. And it might be that someone else got to actually see that person saved. Remember what Jesus said. The saying is true. One soweth and another reapeth. But don't give up. Don't give up. The Lord promised his word would not return in a void. He promised it would accomplish that which he pleased. And he promised that it would prosper in the thing whereto he sent it. Listen, in the end time, in the day, the judgment seat of Christ, God knows all the seed you've sown. Don't get discouraged. Don't let someone that's full of themselves discourage you thinking you're nothing for Christ. Let's be faithful until he comes. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we do confess that we are such unworthy vessels, such unworthy farmers attempting to sow the seed. Lord, we thank you that your ability to save doesn't depend upon the messenger, but on the message. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, if there are those here tonight who are discouraged, thinking that their lives have been in vain, their lives haven't counted, Lord, help them to realize tonight that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. I pray you'd encourage their hearts. Lord, we do pray for a great awakening and a great revival. And
Lord, we do not pray for it based upon our own righteousness, for we have no righteousness but of Christ. But Lord, we plead for that great awakening and revival based on your righteousness and on your blood that you gave on Calvary. So Lord, please bless. Times do seem bleak right now, but they were in Nineveh, and that did not hinder a great revival breaking out, a great awakening. So please bless, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.